Bitch, read by Derek Jacobi and Richard E. Grant.
I have, so far, released for publication only one episode from Uncle Oswald's diaries. It concerned, as some of you may remember, a carnal encounter between my uncle and a Syrian female leper in the Sinai Desert. 6 years have gone by since its publication, and nobody has yet come forward to make trouble. I am therefore encouraged to release a second episode from these curious pages. My lawyer has advised against it. He points out that some of the people concerned are still living and are easily recognizable. He says I will be sued mercilessly. Well, let them sue. I am proud of my uncle. He knew how life should be lived. In a preface to the first episode, I said that Casanova's memoirs read like a parish magazine beside Uncle Oswald's diaries, and that the great lover himself, when compared with my uncle, appears positively undersexed. I stand by that, and given time, I shall prove it to the world. Here, then, is a little episode from Volume 23, precisely as Uncle Oswald wrote it.
Paris. Wednesday. Breakfast at 10. I tried the honey. It was delivered yesterday in an early Sèvres sucrier, which had that lovely canary-coloured ground known as jonquille. From Susie, the note said, and thank you. It is nice to be appreciated, and the honey was interesting. Susie Jolibois had, among other things, a small farm south of Casablanca, and was fond of bees. Her hives were set in the midst of a plantation of cannabis indica, and the bees drew their nectar exclusively from this source. They lived, those bees, in a state of perpetual euphoria, and were disinclined to work. The honey was therefore very scarce. I spread a third piece of toast. The stuff was almost black. It had a pungent aroma. The telephone rang. I put the receiver to my ear and waited. I never speak first when called. After all, I'm not phoning them. They're phoning me.
Oswald, are you there?
I knew the voice.
Yes, Henri, I said. Good morning.
Listen, he said, speaking fast and sounding excited. I think I've got it. I'm almost certain I've got it. Forgive me if I'm out of breath, but I've just had a rather fantastic experience. It's all right now. Everything's fine. Will you come over?
Yes, I said. I'll come over. I replaced the receiver and poured myself another cup of coffee. Had Henri really done it at last? If he had, then I wanted to be around to share the fun. I must pause here to tell you how I met Henri Biot. Some 3 years ago, I drove down to Provence to spend a summer weekend with a lady who was interesting to me simply because she possessed an extraordinarily powerful muscle in a region where other women have no muscles at all. An hour after my arrival, I was strolling alone on the lawn beside the river when a small dark man approached me. He had black hairs on the backs of his hands, and he made me a little bow and said,
Henri Biot, a fellow guest.
Oswald Cornelius, I said. Henri Biot was as hairy as a goat. His chin and cheeks were covered with bristly black hair, and thick tufts of it were sprouting from his nostrils.
May I join you?
He said, falling into step beside me and starting immediately to talk. And what a talker he was! How Gallic! How excitable! He walked with a mad little hop, and his fingers flew as if he wanted to scatter them to the four winds of heaven, and his words went off like firecrackers, with terrific speed. He was a Belgian chemist, he said, working in Paris. He was an olfactory chemist. He had devoted his life to the study of olfaction. You mean smell? I said.
Yes, yes, he cried. Exactly. I'm an expert on smells. I know more about smells than anyone else in the world.
Good smells or bad? I asked, trying to slow him down.
Good smells, lovely smells, glorious smells, he said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?